Sports Channel.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Keeping It Real with former NFL wide receiver and Auburn University standout, Jairus McIntyre. Are you ready to hear it live from the athletes, celebrities, and fans? Jairus, his co-hosts, and his guests will keep you laughing, thinking, and talking. Now, here's your host, Jairus McIntyre.
Hey, what's going on? We're back on Keeping It Real. I'm your host, Jairus McIntyre, a.k.a. J. Mac. You know, I'm down here in lovely Tampa, Florida. Just got back from Auburn University. Went to check out them Auburn Tigers. 10-0, number two in the country, should be number one. And, you know, I had to just go check out them boys one good time in person at Jordan-Hare Stadium. Great atmosphere, even though it was a blowout. Had to see the big homie Cam Newton in person. We don't know how long he's going to be around Auburn. Might be one and done, going to the league, we don't know. But, you know, I had to get up there and see him firsthand, up close and personal. So it was a great sight. Big man threw for over 300 yards. He was doing his thing. Obviously, we all know there's controversy surrounding the Heisman Trophy frontrunner. It's just funny, mysteriously, allegations come in that, you know, guys from Mississippi State, former players at Mississippi State trying to do their thing, and I think kind of trying to put him out there in a negative light. I don't know exactly who did it and who brought the story to the attention so the national media could catch it and run and go crazy with it, but it's disturbing, and the Auburn family, we definitely don't like that, but we know you really can't hold Cam Newton down. No defense can stop him, and I don't think the media can stop him as well. And just last night, I saw that in Florida, with some more allegations that he was in trouble for cheating on tests and all these crazy things. And I'm like, look, why is this all of a sudden coming out now after this man has thrown for about 2,000 yards, rushed for 1,000 yards, the Heisman Trophy frontrunner, and has his team 10-0 headed into play a good Georgia team? And all of a sudden, all this stuff want to come out. So it's just mind-boggling to me. But can't nobody hold Auburn down. Can't nobody hold the big homie Cam Newton down and the rest of the Auburn Tigers. So we're going to kind of get back talking about that a little later. I wanted to start off my show introducing my special guest today, Ricky Saylor. Ricky Saylor was a defensive back for Texas Tech in 2001 and 2002. You know, he did his thing at Texas Tech. And was a great DB out there, you know, played with big-time players like Wes Welker and did his thing out there. So it's a pleasure to have my big homie Ricky Saylor that I grew up with online. What's going on, Rick?
What's going on? Hey, man, hey, that's a good introduction. I'm going to remind me to give you them $10 a little later.
Hey, man, you already know how I am with them Auburn Tigers, man, when they want to mess around and kind of, you know, shine Cam Newton and Auburn Tigers when we're doing big things and we 10-0, they should be talking about us, you know, running the table and hopefully having a showdown with the Oregon Ducks, but they want to talk about Cam Newton and all this other crazy stuff. So, you're right about
the timing of of everything. It's unfortunate because Auburn is having a great season. Like you said, they're 10-0. But all the things that's coming out about Cam, it's kind of heartbreaking. Because, well, I have several questions about the whole thing. You know, eventually everything will come to the light.
Uh-huh.
But like I said, even last night when they said what he did academically at Florida, And why is this kid's grades being released to the public?
Exactly.
That's something I don't understand.
Yeah, and I was just talking to a professor, somebody that was a professor at Florida, and I asked him, is that legal? Are you allowed to do that? And he was like, absolutely not. So obviously, I don't know, but I think those people down there in Gainesville are a little jealous and a little upset that Cam Newton is on the big stage at another SEC school and may be playing them again at the SEC championship if they can win this week. So it's kind of funny that it all comes out right now. So, you know, that's just how it goes. But speaking of Mr. Big Rick Saylor, I grew up with him. We never played on the same team in Little League, but we were always competing against each other. You know, it was kind of, you know, the top athletes through Hillsborough County in our time. He went to Lato, don't ask me why, played with Atlanta Falcons star Michael Jenkins, receiver. They played together. They're about the only two cats that ever came out of Lato. But, Rick, I want to kind of go all the way back from Lato to you leaving Lato and going to junior college and your route from junior college to Texas Tech. Kind of explain to our listeners your story, I guess, from playing at Lato to, you know, going to your junior college and then up to Texas.
Okay. Well, when everything happened, it was a blessing in disguise. At Lato, like you said, traditionally Lato was not a real good football school until the arrival of myself, Mike Jenkins, Ross Smith, and other guys who came along. So we was focused on being a good football team. But I wasn't focused on being a student, and it came back to bite me. So, not knowing that academics was very important, I ended up have to go to Butte Junior College, which is out in California, and then it's one of the best junior colleges in the nation. Larry Allen of the Cowboys went there, and current quarterback Aaron Rodgers, he went there.
Okay.
So it's a pretty good junior college, but it's a big culture shock because at the age of 18, I left Florida to go to California to play football, uh-huh. And you talking about you had to mature very quickly. So in that time, in the 2 years of being there, I did pretty well on the football field, but what I had to do is start to compete in the classroom and learn how to be a student. Because quite frankly, I was behind several years as far as being a student. The writing skills, study habits, them things that made me behind. So I had to work extra hard just to be a productive student, and which I eventually ended up being. But it's crazy how on the football field I always competed, but once I got in the classroom, I stopped competing. I became the sorry school in the SEC. I'm not gonna say which team. I'm gonna say I was one of the sorriest teams when it came to the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
But my coaches and my academic advisors at Butte, they taught me how to not only compete on the field, but in the classroom also. And you know everything that we learned from being an athlete and competing, you know, coming up, you know what I'm saying, I always want to be better than you and Will Glover, and you had wanted to be better than us guys. So it's a friendly, competitive attitude that we had, but now I used it in the classroom, and I became a pretty good student. Jersey there?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'm here. We have technical difficulties. I'm sorry. But,
okay.
Yeah, so what made you, I guess, you know, like you were saying, we all competed through from even when we were growing up playing Little League baseball and football and things of that nature and racing in the park and just all kind of stuff, just competing. Did you ever even think of grades? I mean, I don't want to say think, but did you ever even – when did you realize in high school that you needed to get good grades? Because I know myself, I didn't realize that until, you know, Steve Spurrier and some of the coaches from Florida came by the high school and was like, you know, son, you're going to have to make a tremendous improvement or you're not going to be able to go anywhere. So once I saw that at the end of my 10th grade year and in my junior year, that kind of gave me initiative to be like, okay, I need to tighten up. I need to get good grades. Was there a time at Lato when you kind of had a stance like that, or did that not come until you went? Did that not come until you got to the junior college?
No, it came, but when that opportunity presented itself, it was too late. Because I told you, going to Lato, it wasn't a history of guys going to college from there. So colleges did not come by as much as they did where you was at Temple Catholic. But when they started to take notice of myself and some of the other guys on the team, it was my 12th grade year in October.
Okay.
And now the light bulb goes on in my head, like, okay, no, grades are for real.
Yeah,
but by that time I had dug myself in a ditch and it was too late. So now, so the message now I have with the kids now is to take your academics very important. You know what I'm saying? They are very important. They can keep you from playing football. And at the end of the day, don't nobody care about how many touchdowns you had or how many interceptions you had when it's time for a job interview.
Absolutely. And I know, with that being said, I know you're the defensive coordinator at Jefferson High School, the Jefferson Dragons, one of the top teams in the state of Florida, regardless of classification. y'all 9-0 now, right?
Yes, 9-0. We are doing pretty well right now.
Doing
pretty well.
Yeah, so, and I know somebody like you, you know, coming from the background that you came up from and some of the people that we knew that made it and that didn't make it. And when we were talking earlier, it was like, I mean, think about all the cats that we grew up with that didn't have an opportunity to even go to college, let alone a college like an Auburn University or a Texas Tech University. And I know with you being at Jefferson and some of the talented athletes that you have, you're kind of the perfect person. Because you play the game, you know about the game, but you know everything outside of it. So how do you kind of translate the outside of football with the young brothers that you coach in? How do you kind of translate life outside of football to football, like as a whole?
Oh, that's the main reason why I'm there.
Uh-huh.
At the end of the day, S's and O's gonna take care of themselves.
Yeah.
But as a coach, you know, I'm in a position that I get, and that, especially as a defensive coordinator, I have the attention of 30-some-odd defensive guys who I can be a positive influence to and let them know about the things that I went through that I can help them through the process. Now, because a lot of our kids, they come from single-parent homes or they're the first generation to get recruited, so they don't know or the parents do not know. And you know, we came up through an organization, All Sports Community Service, headed by former NFL champ Tyrone Keyes.
Mm-hmm.
He taught us the importance of trying to get your academics and not only being a good football player, but giving back. And that's one thing that I'm very proud of my guys. They're doing well academically. They're doing well on the football field. But majority of these guys, they also give back to the community. I have community service events, and a lot of times these guys, they're with me.
Definitely. And that's always the thing because, like you said, the X's and O's are going to take care of itself. But when it comes to mentoring these guys and letting them know, you know, what's right and what's wrong, and if they're thinking about doing this or thinking about doing that, to have somebody to guide them on the right track so they can stay focused and be a better person as well as a better player.
That's the name of the game.
That's what's up. Another thing, obviously, that all ties into it is your company, Unsigned Preps. I know Unsigned Preps, you know, I know all about it, doing different things to help kids that are not highly recruited or are highly recruited to make the right decisions, to get them exposure, to get them, you know, media savvy and things of that nature. Kind of explain what exactly Unsigned Preps is to any of our listeners or that are parents or you know, high school athletes.
Okay, yeah, Unsigned Preps is a company that I recently started this year. It's a sports consulting company where I help athletes get exposure, but not only this exposure so they can continue their academic and athletic careers, but also mentor these guys and try to help them start a life in the world of sports. Because many of the athletes, they would not be able to go to the NFL. You know, the stats show only 1% is going to go.
Yeah, we'll be back. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back with Ricky Shaler.
Okay.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
You already get the general sports headlines and discussion on TV and radio. Tune in to The Blueprint with Randall Gatewood. Yeah, we'll cover all the general big name stuff too, but we go beyond the typical sports radio show to bring you the details you don't get anywhere else. We'll talk about the inspirational stories and the little known successes. If you want creativity, The Blueprint is the place to be. Tune in every Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Are you a real sports fan? Get ready to talk football and anything else sports with Kwame Lassiter. Formerly with the Arizona Cardinals, San Diego Chargers, and St. Louis Rams. Kwame's got the experience, so he's prepared to talk sports with you. Every week on Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk. It's on the Voice America Sports Network every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time. Get ready for unpredictable fun and sometimes a sarcastic look at the world of sports. That's Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk on the Voice America Sports Network.
Do you love sports talk? Can't get enough sports talk? Have we got a show for you? It's about the NFL training camps, Super Bowl previews, a look at the new starting quarterbacks, and weekly key injuries. We'll take your calls and emails right on the air. Former Philadelphia Eagle James Loving is your host, and you never know who'll drop by for a co-host spot or an interview on the spot. Tune in to Loving That Sports Talk with James Loving every Wednesday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
You're listening to Keeping It Real with Jarris McIntyre and his guests. To get in on the show today, please call 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Now, back to the show.
Okay, yeah, we are back on Keeping It Real. The big homie Rick Shaler, former Texas Tech defensive back. Before we get back to talking about unsigned preps, Rick, tell me about your time at Texas Tech, man, because I know I always saw Texas Tech, Red Raiders. It always looked exciting, obviously, on the offensive side of the ball with the way you boys slung it around, and you guys had good receivers. The defense was pretty good. And I just kind of want to know how it was out there in Lubbock, Texas, because, Coach Tuberville is out there now, which was my coach, and a couple of my buddy Shavars Robinson that I played with at Auburn, and Chad Scott. That played at Plant City, you know, around the years that we were playing, or coaches at Texas Tech. But I want to know how it was as a player then, you know, just that experience.
Well, it was definitely fun, and I made some lifetime friends. But one thing, and you know this, when you play Division I football, is business.
Mm-hmm.
It is very business. The coaches were great because I played under Mike Leach, and then several other coaches there. They had coaches now at other places who I talked to, like Ruffin McNeil at East Carolina, Art Browse at Baylor, and Greg McMackin in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
But it was fun, but it was business, and mm-hmm. that's what I think people. They don't understand. Saturday is definitely fun,
mm-hmm.
but Sunday through Friday, it takes a special person to want to do that and want to kind of live that life. You know what I'm saying? From 2 to 4 years.
Absolutely, man. And I just know, and you're absolutely right. We're talking about that because I mean, back in the days. Back at Auburn, I mean, you're right, man. Those winter workouts, those spring practices, those long scrimmages. I mean,
how about when the coach cuss you out?
Yeah, when a coach cuss you, when a coach that recruited you and was begging you to come there, start cussing you out, telling you you ain't this, you ain't that, and you're like, what am I doing? And you were out in Texas, and I was up in Alabama, and we from Florida, so we like, this is what we're used to, you know?
Yeah, so, exactly.
So you're like, what is really going on,
man? Yeah, the coach sent you here.
How did I not see that? How could I not see through you? But, like you said, you meet a lot of lifelong friends, and obviously you meet, you know, coaches that you obviously build a relationship. I'm sure you still have a relationship with some of those same coaches that was cussing you out or whatnot. But I mean, then you look at it and you look back at it and be like, well, that may have made me a better player. You know, that you know, so I kind of look at it from that stance. You know, Coach Knox, he's the receiver coach at Mississippi State. And, man, he was always on me. But now that I look back at it, you know, I think it helped me become a better receiver. I mean, I know some people don't, you know, hold grudges against their coaches or whatnot and thought they were mean to them and all this. But, I mean, I think that's part of the game, you know?
Oh, yeah, because it make you a better player, but it also make you a better person. And it make you understand how to deal with certain people. And understand this one thing that I found out. If you look at your coach's bio, he probably has a psychology degree.
Mm-hmm.
So they play little mental games with you to make you a better player and person. But it's up to you to figure out to what they're trying to do. Some people take it the wrong way and may end up getting put in the closet, not saying no names. And some people take it another way to like, all right, coach trying to make help me get better.
Okay, well, Mr. Ricky Sanders on here keeping it real, and he's not gonna say no names, but I'm gonna say a name. Mike Leach. Mr. Craig Kane's, what's his name? Christian, I forgot his name, but his son was quote unquote supposedly put in the shed at Texas Tech. Now me,
allegedly.
Allegedly. Now me, I mean, Leach, I mean, you might be like, oh, but you know, he's kind of a weird guy. So I've seen, me personally, I've seen probably worse things than getting put in the shed, like a 200-pound defensive end going up against somebody that's 6'6", 300 pounds, just to get him knocked out so he don't want to come out there no more. You know what I'm saying? So I'd rather get put in the shed, honestly. You know what I'm saying? So
hey, but can we touch on that real quick about the closet thing?
Huh?
Can we touch on that real quick about a coach telling you to go into a shed?
Yeah, absolutely. We can definitely touch on that, Mr. Texas Tech. Go ahead and let's.
Now, look, I'm a Mike Leach fan. I like Coach Leach. I love Texas Tech even more. But as a player, I'm just trying to see how did this conversation go. All right, I'm a player coach, and you're gonna be the football player, okay?
All right,
that's fine. All right, Jared, go stand in that closet. Till I tell you to come out.
Hold, what you mean, coach?
I want you to go stand inside that closet and don't come out.
But, coach, man, it's dark and I can't see what's going on.
I don't care. You've been insubordinate. Go stand in the closet.
Man, coach, I just can't do that. I just can't do that, coach. I mean, I'll sit on the side. I'm not going to go in no closet.
I don't see how that conversation from a – because at the end of the day, you know, once we turn 18, a lot of us think we men. And we're not, but we think we men. So
absolutely.
When another man tell you to go stand in a closet, I can't really see you say, okay, I'm going to go stand inside this closet.
Absolutely. And you know what? I never even thought about it like that. You know what I'm saying? And I mean, that's just crazy. You're absolutely right. I never thought of it like that. If you somebody tell me to go sit in a closet, now I can see, I'm thinking, I haven't seen the setup of how it's set up, and I don't know what we're talking about, but I'm sure, and I know at Auburn, we had like a little shed where they kept the pads and the jug machines, mm-hmm. things of that nature, but mm-hmm. it wasn't a closed-in place. It was somewhere where, like, it was a shed, but you could look out and see. You know what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it wasn't like you were enclosed and couldn't do anything, if that makes sense. So I mean, if Coach told you to sit over there, he probably was like, go to Shane. If you have a concussion you can't see, go into Shane's. The sun won't be on you. Go sit down over there. You know, so it's all kind of crazy things, man. And we even had a back at Auburn, it wasn't a shed, but it was like a little tent. And if you got in trouble, you got kicked out of practice or whatever, Tub would be like, go over there and sit down under the little tent. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I don't know. There's a whole bunch of allegations. We don't know exactly what it was, but I mean, I've seen worse things than that in the world of college football, honestly.
Oh yeah, yes. But I just and I know it's old, but I just can't see. All right, Coach Lee's telling me, all right, Ricky, go get in the closet. Well, Coach, this is where we're gonna have to disagree.
Yeah,
that's where the conversation would have started.
Exactly. So I mean, that there was crazy, and that cost Coach Leach's job for the most part. I mean, and I can understand, I can see why he would want to do the things that he's trying to, you know, do to the university or whatnot, because that man lost his job over something like that. Now, not to say he was right by any means, but
yeah, exactly.
But I mean, come on, man. I've seen worse than that. I mean, I could literally remember. I mean, I don't know if it just all of a sudden happened, but I can remember a big 6'7", 300-some-pound offensive tackle we had. And with his little walk-on, that was about 6'1", 200 pounds. Now, most of the time, the coach going to put the big All-American offensive tackle up against the best defensive end we have to get a good little, you know, get some good work, you know?
Get a good look.
Well, I see old buddy over there, offensive tackle, with the little dude, 6'1", 200. That's a walk-on. I said, man, they're trying to get this walk-on to get knocked out and not come back out here no more. And he didn't come back no more. So it worked. I mean, so, to me, I'd rather go sit in the shed than get put up on a mismatch. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, go and get 6'7", 325.
I mean, it's all crazy, and things of that nature happen. But as you being a defense coordinator, being a coach, I know you won't tell nobody to go sit in no shed, nothing crazy like that. But do you kind of play mind games to see how your DBs, your defensive players will react? Or do you just keep it 100 and you don't even go through all that?
No, I will do that, but I won't do it to the extent how it is at the college level, because you're still dealing with a kid, and in college you're dealing with a kid.
Yeah.
But one thing I challenge my guys to get better, or like I may split reps for the day, so the guy can kind of see like, well, if I don't start competing, I may be replaced. But a lot to what I do and our staff do, we're totally honest with the kids. If you're getting it done, we're gonna love you up. If you're not getting it done, we're gonna coach you up. But we're gonna let them know everything is not all good all the time. It's gonna be, you know, when you get out on that field, it's gonna be some bad spots at times.
Yeah,
because the other team practice also. But our kids, they're. There's some real good kids. They're very funny. I'm talking about absolutely funny. They love making impressions about Kevin Hart, the TV show The Boondocks, and we'll be in the game. And then they'll start making a reference about that. And the thing is, I like that because that let me know that they're loose.
They're loose and comfortable. We'll be back on Keeping It Real with the big homie Rick Saylor.
Yes, sir.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Super Bowl champ Lionel Dalton is taking to the internet airwaves with his own brand of sports talk. You'll go inside the mind of the players and find out if blacklisting really happens, what their thoughts are on training camps, where the former NFL players are now, and why being drafted by the wrong NFL team can kill a promising player's career. Lionel will also cover what's up with the Baltimore Ravens. Tune in to Sports Talk with Lionel Dalton live every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 noon Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel.
It's more than a sports show. Tune in every Friday for End of the Bench with Tony Bowie. Tony knows and does it all. Whether it's sports, business, or politics, the discussion all comes to focus in one place. You'll hear from the personalities as well as the everyday people, each bringing their own perspective to the discussion. This is a weekly forum that you'll want to be a part of. End of the Bench with Tony Bowie airs live every Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time. That's 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Are you ready to talk football with the greatest wide receiver player and coach in NFL history? Tune in to Wide Open with Andre Rison. Andre is ready to talk to you and give his thoughts on the sport. There'll be celebrity guests, coaches, players, artists, and more. He'll go beyond the game with a look from the coach's point of view and feature a high school player each week. Tune in to Wide Open with host Andre Rison, featured Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Listen to Sports Talk at the Positive Pub every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel. Gil Tyree talks to sports newsmakers, playmakers, and story breakers. You, the hardcore, interactive, and novice fan, can join the show via your phone calls and emails. Sample what's good, bright, and positive about the world of sports every week. Begin your week in a positive way with Sports Talk from the Positive Pub. Be here every Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
You're listening to Keeping It Real with Jarris McIntyre and his guests. To get in on the show today, please call 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Now, back to the show.
Oh, yeah, we are back on Keeping It Real with the big homie Ricky Saylor.
Yes, sir.
In the weekly call-in, Ron Mack. What's up, Ron Mack?
Not much. You know I had to call in today, right? I know you knew I was going to call.
Yeah, I already know. And first, hold on, before I get to you, Ron Mack, I know you're ready to explode. And I kind of already exploded a little bit when the show opened when you weren't on the air. But I kind of wanted to ask Rick first about the African American quarterback. And obviously, there's a quarterback at Jefferson High School named Quinn Williams, and he's broke pretty much every Hillsborough County record that's been set. I mean, this man's most touchdowns in a career, passing yardage. If he hasn't broke the record, he's about to break it. And the brother committed to Bethune-Cookman College, where my quarterback from high school is the coach. Alan Subers is the coach there, and he's already committed to Bethune-Cookman. And I got all the respect in the world for Bethune-Cookman because they produce athletes. But this guy Williams has thrown for crazy amount of yards for year in, year out, and he doesn't seem to have the offers that said quarterback over at Philip Ely over at Plant. Now I've seen both of the players play. Philip Ely is a pretty good quarterback, committed to Alabama. Quinn Williams is going to Bethune-Cookman, and I'm just looking at it. It makes me want to say, yeah, maybe Quinn's a little short. He's an African American quarterback, and I don't know in the college game if that has too much to do with it or not. But Rick Saylor, I want your assessment on this kind of topic. I know I want you to be kind of careful, obviously, because that's one of your players. But I want to know your assessment as far as how somebody like Quinn Williams could not have offers from even a USF. And Philip Ely has offers from Alabama, LSU, and schools of that nature.
Yeah, from everywhere. Well, when it comes to the Quinn, first of all, Quinn is a great kid, great, very humble. Right now this year, he has 40 touchdowns and 2 interceptions.
40 touchdowns.
And then the thing about it, we haven't played a full game since week 3. Mm-hmm. So he does this in half games. Now, when it comes to I don't think it's a black and white thing when it comes to Phillip and Quinn. There's other circumstances that may keep a guy from getting recruited, but if you clearly turn on the film, Quentin is one of the best quarterbacks that you'll see at the high school level.
And you saw
him play in person. He's the only guy in this county that's going to throw a 25 yard comeback. He may be the only kid in this country that will attempt to make that throw and can get it there without it getting intercepted.
Yeah.
But this is one thing I don't understand at the pro level when it comes to black quarterbacks. In my opinion, the worst backed up position in the NFL is the quarterback position. So when you have black quarterbacks, and recently we've had some that come out of college, why do you change their position when clearly the worst backed up position in the NFL is the quarterback position? And then they let a lot of other guys hang on for many, many years.
Oh, yeah.
Todd Collins is the guy who's still in the NFL.
Yeah, he played with me in Kansas City. Yeah, he's been there, yeah.
Mark Brunell is still in the NFL.
John Kitna
is still in the NFL. But a couple years ago when you had like a Brad Smith that came out, the quarterback who was at Kentucky, his name is
Andre Woodson.
You get that guy, the Nate Davis that came from out of Ball State, Pat White, Michael Robinson, they changed his position. Now, backup quarterback is the worst backed up position in the NFL. Why don't you get, instead of switching these young black athletes who can play quarterback, who is a quarterback, switching their positions, okay, let them make backup money for 13 years like Brunell has done.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, Ron Mack, we're going to switch it a little bit because when I started off the show, I was ranting and raving about all of a sudden, Auburn Tigers 10-0, number two in the country, got the best player in the country, face of college football, doing his thing, better, bigger, faster version of Tim Tebow, and all of a sudden, everything wants to come out once the man is on top of the world. Now, Ron Mack, tell me what's really going on.
Is Urban Meyer
absolutely
is having problems at Florida?
Uh-huh.
Okay, and I was talking to a coworker of mine, and I painted this picture. I said, just think about this. Back in 2008, you know, they saying he came out with some plagiarism. It was a plagiarism type deal. And Urban Meyer, you know, you play college football, man. You go meet with the coach, the academic people, and they'll say, look, okay, you're an athlete. Any other kid, we'll kick them out of school for 6 months and make them reapply. But since you're an athlete, redo the paper. Okay?
Uh-huh.
So the paper gets done, everything is swept under the rug with the understanding that, okay, you still here.
Uh-huh.
Then the laptop incident happens. Okay, uh-huh. So now you got the plagiarism and the laptop. So now, uh-huh. Cam, you put me in a situation, man. I know Tim Tebow. He just won the Heisman. He's coming back. We had gone through the season. You the backup. We tabbed you for the future. But now we have to suspend you because if we don't, it's going to make us look like we weak. So we're going to suspend you with the understanding that, okay, you're going to come back to the team. You're going to lead this team next year because you're better than Brantley right now, and Tebow going to lead for the money.
Uh-huh.
Then when it comes time for Tebow to announce what he gonna do, Tebow say, "I'm coming back. I love Florida. I'm coming back." So now Cam says, "Man, I'm not gonna be a backup another year. I got to find me a way out of here." So he goes to the junior college, and now you're hurting that quarterback. Your starting quarterback just left, and that leaves you with the guy who you tapped to be in front of him just temporarily because he was on suspension. So he leaves. Does his thing, win a junior college national championship, and comes back into the SEC and breathes life into a program that was down. And now you struggling. You got three or four losses. You know, you struggling on offense. You looking at him saying, man, if I had this kid, I'd still be on top.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what can I do? Okay, I can't do anything because what happened at Florida, and we swept that under the rug. But what I don't want to happen is I don't want Cam to be comfortable to the point to where he'll come back next year, where he'll pull a Tebow. See, people thinking about like this about right now, like this about this week against Georgia, or this about in 2 weeks against Alabama, when it's not. All this is doing is putting Cam in a position where he can't come back for his senior year. He'll say, man, I can't put up with that. My folks, we'll get with our people, and we'll get on out of Dodge and get this money instead of me coming back another year at Auburn giving the SEC hell. See, people, like I said, they're thinking short term, like, okay, well, he's going to get suspended for Alabama. It won't happen. But what they're doing is they're trying to, you know, push him on. We know you're having a good year. We know you're the Heisman front runner. But what we're going to do, we're gonna make these last few weeks tough for you. So try to break your focus, because you're going to end up playing us anyway in the SEC championship game.
I can't wait.
And you probably going to destroy us. But what I don't want you to do, I don't want you to get comfortable enough to where you will come back. So I'm going to push you on to the league like this. I'm going to push you to the point where you say, man, I love Auburn. I want to come back. Malzahn to come back. Everybody to come back. We make another run. Nah, man, I can't put up with this. It'll be something else next year. So I'm going to go get this money.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. People thinking short term, but it's about the long term. If he leaves Auburn after this year, Auburn will probably return back to a 8-5, you know, that type of 8-5, 7-6 maybe, you know what I'm saying? But if he stays.
I think he's going to leave anyway, me personally, because he can't do nothing else, honestly. And all the naysayers and the NFL scouts and all that, he can't do nothing else. He can't do nothing else at Auburn after this year. Like, I mean, he can't. So I think he's going to leave anyway. But I agree 100% with Urban Meyer and whomever else, even Mississippi State. Like you say Urban Meyer, I say Urban Meyer and Mississippi State. I think it could have been a collective thing. Because Dan Mullen was his coach at Florida and is at Mississippi State. Urban Meyer was his head coach. So between Mississippi State and Florida and all these allegations coming out after we balling, like you said, it's going to kind of push him out. I mean, they collectively, I think, got together and kind of like, okay, you back in the SEC, kill it. Okay, Dan Mullen, you couldn't come to Mississippi State and play for me. And Urban Meyer, you probably about to play me in a couple of weeks if I win on Saturday and wreck me. And we don't want this no more. You go ahead and get up out of here, like you said. So, I mean, that makes complete sense. And I think with Malzahn, I mean, I give Auburn a 9 wins every year with Malzahn. I mean, because we won 8 last year with Chris Todd, you know, poor Chris Todd. I mean, he tried to do what he can do, but I think we have quarterbacks that are better than him behind Cam Newton. So I see us as a 9, maybe 10 win team with Malzahn as a coordinator in the coming years. But obviously Cam Newton is a player that can, you know, take it to the bar to, you know, 13-14 season. But
well, Jerry, I have a question for you.
All right.
When it comes to Cam, well, first of all, it seems like these guys, they're doing politics rather than coaching college football, the way they trying to sabotage this whole thing. But when it comes to the Heisman Trophy with Cam Newton, now, with everything that happened with Reggie Bush, do you think voters shy away from voting for Cam just in case something in the future comes out?
I think this will be the biggest margin of victory between Heisman Trophy between him and Kellen Moore or LaMichael James. But I think now it may make it a little closer just because of these crazy allegations or whatnot. But we're going to go to break. We're going to continue talking about this when we get back on Keeping It Real.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice of America Sports.
You already get the general sports headlines and discussion on TV and radio. Tune in to The Blueprint with Randall Gatewood. Yeah, we'll cover all the general big name stuff too, but we go beyond the typical sports radio show to bring you the details you don't get anywhere else. We'll talk about the inspirational stories and the little known successes. If you want creativity, The Blueprint is the place to be. Tune in every Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Do you love sports talk? Can't get enough sports talk? Have we got a show for you? It's about the NFL training camps, Super Bowl previews, a look at the new starting quarterbacks, and weekly key injuries. We'll take your calls and emails right on the air. Former Philadelphia Eagle James Loving is your host, and you never know who'll drop by for a co-host spot or an interview on the spot. Tune in to Loving That Sports Talk with James Loving every Wednesday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Are you a real sports fan? Get ready to talk football and anything else sports with Kwame Lassiter. Formerly with the Arizona Cardinals, San Diego Chargers, and St. Louis Rams. Kwame's got the experience, so he's prepared to talk sports with you. Every week on Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk. It's on the Voice America Sports Network every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time. Get ready for unpredictable fun and sometimes a sarcastic look at the world of sports. That's Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk on the Voice America Sports Network.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
You're listening to Keeping It Real with Jairus McIntyre and his guests. To get in on the show today, please call 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Now, back to the show.
All right, we are back. Here with my big homie, Rick Saylor. Rick, being a coach, I want to ask you about Brad Childress and the things going on with him. Obviously, he just cut Randy Moss last week, probably two or three weeks with the Minnesota Vikings. You know, he didn't do too much there, but Brad Childress decided he was going to release him. And then just last week, he had a big rant and rave with his other receiver, Percy Harvin. And obviously, him and Brett Favre have been clashing probably since Brett Favre has been there. What do you think about Brad Childress and just him as a coach and all the things that come with him and the way he does things?
Well, right now it's a bad situation. It's two things that's real alarming to me. First, when the players say he don't know what he's doing. Now that's a problem.
Uh-huh.
I was like, that's a problem. So then when they don't respect the guy. Now, because you know, at the end of the day, you don't need to play for your coach. You need to play for each other. But your coach is still the head guy, and the guy that you still look to. But if everybody's looking at the coach sideways, like, man, this dude, then it's a problem. But one thing I will give him, I like the way that he's going out. He threw Brett Favre under the bus, and it's other players he gonna throw under the bus. So he going out like that angry guy who just got fired, knowing he should have been fired weeks ago, but he going out like, man, he crazy.
Yeah, he's crazy. I ain't thinking about it like that. It's just like he just don't know. It's like, hey, I'm going to do what I got to do because this could be it. You know what I'm saying?
You know how, like, you think it, like, man, if this happened, I'm going to do this.
Like, yeah.
Brad Childress is doing that. Like, all right, I'm going to go out my way. I'm not going out like Wade Phillips. I'm like, yeah, it was good, and I'm glad I was here.
Yeah, hey, and that's funny that you bring that up, because with Wade Phillips, now, the Dallas Cowboys, I mean, they got Roy Williams, Dez Bryant, Miles Alston, Felix Jones, Marion Barber, Tony Romo, well, he got hurt, Jason Witten. I mean, these are the people that pretty much all could be Pro Bowl players. I mean, Mike Jenkins at corner, Terrence Newman at corner, Keith Brooking, DeMarcus Ware, Jay Ratliff. I mean, all these players. Now, do you think that the players are overrated? Do you think that the coach wasn't doing his thing? Do you think they're not in the right scheme? I mean, I'm naming off all these players, and either these players
are not as good as advertised, or the coach doesn't know what he's doing, or it's a mixture of it all. What do you think?
The name of the show is Keep It Real, right?
It's Keeping It Real.
Hey, they quit.
They quit.
Like the names that you reeled off, mm-hmm. they sound like a PlayStation team.
It
sound like a dream team.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you just look. You can look at them. First, for them to get beat by 45-7 by any team in NFL is crazy. Because there's not a team on paper who's 30 points better than them.
Exactly.
And as a coach, I'm a coach now, but I was a player also.
Mm-hmm.
Your coach can't go out there and tackle. He can't catch the ball. Your coach don't jump off sides. Man, at the end of the day, they quit. They quit.
Yeah.
That's like the lowest thing you can do as an athlete.
Exactly. And I think by you saying that, what was the score? You said 45-7 or something like that, right? I'm thinking like this.
I think Green Bay beat them 45-7.
Yeah, I'm thinking like this. With that talent, if the coach puts you in a decent situation, you should still be able to hang with the team just off of talent. You understand what I'm saying? Because it's
you
like
go out there and play, you can play base defense, base offense, and not lose by 32 points or 30 or however many points it was.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, to me, that's crazy. And now I want to see what they're going to do. Now, I mean, like you said, it's like a PlayStation team with all those players.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much, like I said, the coach had to do with it, but the coach can only do so much. I mean, if you're playing a defense, and we say, okay, we're playing a 3-4, we're playing a 4-3, whatever we're playing, if it's cover 2 or cover 3, you know, cover 0, everybody across, whatever. Whatever we are playing, with the talent that we have, if you play that coverage or play that defense full speed with this talent, you should be able to hang with anybody.
Anybody.
You know what I'm saying? Now, schematically, it might – you know, mess with you a little bit if the coach is not calling it a perfect thing to put you in a messed up situation. But for the most part, if you have a talent like that and you just play a little bit, you should be able to hang with anybody in the NFL because they are the most talented team in the National Football League.
Yeah, on paper they are. So it comes to a point where you can't say, oh, it's the coach. No, and what they're saying the guy, he's a player's coach. So he's listening to these guys. I'm sure when they have a suggestion, you know what I'm saying? He may listen to it. He may not install it, but he may listen. But like you said, if they playing cover 2 and the safety does not get behind the corner, that's not on Coach Phillips.
That's on
that safety.
Exactly. He called the defense, but you know, you run what the coach call, and for the most part. I mean, you're going to be in some type of position to make a play on the ball or make a play. So, mm-hmm. I mean, it's just hard for me to believe that a team with that much talent could be 1-7. I mean, not even 3-5 or whatever. 1-7? I mean, come on, man.
If you would have said that before the season, Ripley would not have believed that. But that's their reality right now. But the thing about this, and I heard this on ESPN, I think yesterday, if they continue this, you know they're going to have a top 5 draft pick.
Exactly. And that's just going to add to the more, you know, young talent that they have, like a Dez Bryant or some of the other young players they have. So, I mean, they're going to have a top 5 draft pick with, like I said, Romo.
Cam Newton, baby.
That's crazy, man. That is crazy. So, we are going to see. We'll see if they turn this around. They talk about getting John Gruden or Bill Cowher. I mean, I'm going to see what they do. They have Bill Parcells in there, and he got ran out of town. So, I mean, if he can get ran out of town, then anybody can. So I want to see how this is going to work out and see what they do and just see what if the Dallas Cowboys can come back to those dynasty days. Because right now,
they're done. But let's skip on to another subject, like the Cowboys. They've been doing because they're ready to go fishing. What you listening to right now? What you got in the range? People don't know that you drive a range.
I'm listening to that good Jeezy, you know. bumping that Jeezy all day, every day. You know, I got to rock Jeezy and a little Jay-Z.
Okay. Okay. Hey, hey, have you heard, because I'm thinking about buying this guy's CD. It's either buy this guy's CD or get a haircut. So
you're gonna
seal this for me. B.O.B., I think that's his name.
Hey, B.O.B. is all right. B.O.B. is all right, man. You might go check that out. I don't have the CD, but I've heard that you know, it's pretty straight. So you might have to go check that out. You might check that out.
So do I get the haircut or do I get the CD?
Just depends on what you're doing for the weekend. If you're not going to be doing too much, I go get the CD. But if you need a fresh cut and you're going to be out moving around a little bit, I might.
All right, so I may be going to B.O.B. then.
Oh, yeah. Hey, well, we on Keeping It Real. We'll be back next Tuesday, 1 o'clock Eastern Time on Keeping It Real. Hey, big up to my homie Rick Saylor for coming on here, Keeping It Real with me, talking a little football, talking a little music. Man, I appreciate having you on here, man.
I thank you. I thank you so much, and I love you.
Thanks for listening this week. Tune in to Keeping It Real with Jerris McIntyre again next Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. Until then, keep it real, real, real. Keep it real.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.